It pleased him that in him should all fullness dwell. The fullness of God fills Christ. Now we are supposed to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Yikes! But that's the promise of God. That's good news. It's too high for me. But you know what? I still believe it. In spite of myself. In spite of the, Abraham believed God in spite of the infirmity of his flesh and the oldness of Sarah's womb and the barrenness of her. He believed God anyways. And in spite of all my shortcomings and in spite of my inabilities and in spite of my weaknesses and in spite of, everything about me that I think, me be like Christ. That's just, I believe it anyways. And I've been mocked over it. You think you're perfect. It's like, I never said that. I just said we have to be or we're the children of the devil. Because that's what the apostles taught. I'm going to stick to what they taught. I don't care if it condemns me. I don't care if I'm not fitting it. I don't care. Because I believe I will. And if I don't, I don't. God's word is still God's word. I'd rather be, it's like I just rejoice in seeing that thing that is true being spoken. That makes me rejoice. I don't care. The rest, I'm not like, I'm not so worried about myself. I gotta be saved. I don't care, really. I mean, I do want to, but what I mean is, when I say I don't care, I mean, it's not like this thing that I'm really worried about, my soul. I mean, I've tried to take care of it and all that, but it's not something to consume. What I am more consumed with, it's just what he's saying. Then rather consuming with, I want to get a doctrine whereby I can just feel comfortable. I don't care about feeling comfortable. I guess that's what I really don't care. I don't care about just feeling all right. I don't care about feeling secure. Just throw me out here. Because God, it's God's business. He knows what he's doing. That's what my point is. I don't have to be worried about it. Of faith. He's got to do it. I can't sit here and brag. I can't boast much. Tell you the truth, I can boast in a few little things. Why boast in that? It's not the promise of God. I'll deliver you from 50% of your sins. That's not the promise. The promise of God is I'm going to make you the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what I want. When he gives it to me, just you wait. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. All things. He's not going to reconcile wickedness to himself. But he is going to reconcile wicked men. The men he has set forth for reconciliation. And women. And poor. And bond. And free. Gentiles and Jews. There's nothing that's going to be reconciled to God outside of Christ and his cross. Everything that's going to be reconciled to God is going to be through the cross. By him. Now, by him is repeated. Because that's so much the focus, the preeminence of Christ. That nothing could be reconciled without him. That's the focus. Whether the things in earth or things in heaven. There are things in heaven to be reconciled. I mean, there's nothing up there that's so high it doesn't need his blood. That's what it seems to be saying to me. It's not just people, it's things. Verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. been reading that. I know the way people take these doctrines. See, they skirt over everything that's already been said and say, oh, right here. Well, they don't see what they do is they'll take this. And now here comes the perversion. Here's the way in which this verse is perverse, perverted to people, where they'll say, well, see, he presents you holy and unblameable. See, his blood has, it doesn't just remove past sins. It also just glosses over all the sins that you're continuing to do. So that if you believe in Jesus, let's say you slipped up and you saw a prostitute and her husband busted in and shot you in the back of the head. Or let's say you're not a prostitute. Let's say you went on one of those online meet up with people services that are out there that people get caught up in and destroy people. You hook up with somebody. Their husband walks in, blows your head off. You think you're going to inherit eternal life? Is that the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? But according to their doctrine, that could not end your salvation. If you really believed in Christ, in that moment of lapse, he's going to forgive you, according to them. Because why? Because of the imputed righteousness. Once saved, always saved. I know there's plenty of people out there who don't say that anymore because they realize, hey, you can't be a worker of iniquity and expect you're going to inherit eternal life. They know that, but then they don't go far enough to say you've got to be the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. See, the thing is, it's like he makes us walk worthy. Can I overemphasize that? Do you understand? I don't want people to think like Paul says we have to earn our way to heaven. No. God's grace makes it so that you can. It's all part of the package. See? It's what God wants to do for us. It is his good news towards us. Christ, in the body of his flesh through death, see, the whole point of him dying was that God, he could bring us to God and say, look it, holy, unblameable, unreprovable. And it's not something that just happens magically when you die. It's like, finally, sin is over. No, sin's going to be now. Maybe not this instant, but you know what? God could require it right this instant. He could strike me down in my sin. I thank God he won't do that. He's not, that he's ordained me to something else. I, who was once alienated from God and an enemy in my mind,